boy.
Welcome back to Up to the Miners. I'm your host, Connor Remsen, and with me, as always, he's the Omicron variant to my Delta variant. It is TJ Rust, everybody.
Yes, I have both. It feels like.
Now, you did taunt the COVID gods last week when we did this podcast, and you paid for it.
I paid for it like nobody's business. I can't believe, of course, the one time I taunt, which I never do, as you know. I've never
taunted. Usually very respectful.
Very respectful. I've never said anything off kilter or weird or anything controversial or anything like that in my life.
Needed to be cut from the podcast.
No, that's never happened either. But this one time I got bit in the ass and I got COVID.
So, you know, all that really does, though, is put you in the company of, you know, most of the entire NHL.
That's the other thing is if professional athletes can get it, then why not me?
Yeah. I mean, do you feel better at hockey right now?
Yes.
Well, unfortunately, the Leafs had, what was it, 4 games canceled. Originally the Calgary game.
It's 4, eh?
So originally it was the Calgary game.
I did know that, yeah.
Which was actually first. Because of Calgary, who has literally everybody and their families and pets and everyone has COVID.
Well, I said this before we started. Like, Alberta doesn't even put out their numbers. Like, they don't they don't care.
The Saddle Dome concession staff has COVID.
Oh, like, I'm sure.
Let's just, like,
the parking attendants.
But, after that, it was assumed that the Leafs would go ahead and play their two-game back-to-back against Vancouver and Seattle, and then their Thursday game against the Blues, and all of those got canceled due to the Leafs getting COVID super bad. I believe currently in the protocols, they have this written down, it's Brody, Campbell, Dermott, and some of the coaches. And Simmons and Spets are now out of protocol. After now, both of our team dads got COVID.
I don't know what the rule is in terms of, it's funny how Spezza has been out for, suspended, and he was going to come back two games early, and he gets COVID. But I don't know what the rule is in terms of how many people need to get it for the game to be canceled.
I'm not sure they have, number.
Well, my question was going to be, like, is it maybe a specific, like, Campbell being out is big.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, maybe if your starting goaltender gets it, if you kind of get a mulligan and don't have to play.
I'm not sure how they've put it together.
Because that wouldn't be fair, right? Like,
I will say that what they have done by not having a specific number and kind of doing it like as it goes is a lot better than what the Premier League did, because my team played this weekend with a bunch and requested the league that their game be canceled. And they said no, because you only have, I think it was 5 players who have COVID and you need 6. But the problem was that they had like already before that had like 7 guys who were injured and they were like, well, we don't have we only have 5 guys who have COVID, but like now we just don't have a roster.
So they're like, still playing games, eh? The Premier League.
Yeah. And they were like, we have 12 guys out now. Like, I know only 5 of them have COVID, but like you can't, I don't know. So I think the NHL kind of takes that sort of stuff into account. And they were probably like, okay, the Leafs have 3 guys injured. And now they have 5 guys with COVID. Let's cancel the game.
Yeah.
As opposed to saying like, hey, you need 8 guys to have COVID or whatever. But I know there's been some weird stuff with, didn't like Vancouver vote to play a game or something?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Like the players said that they got to vote to play the game, which I don't understand, like, who let them vote or how that would work.
Yeah, it shouldn't be left up to the players, because that's never going to, like, even with injuries.
Exactly.
Like, let alone COVID. They'll play. Yeah, they'll be like, yes, we're playing.
Yeah, they're insane. players.
No, they're nuts. We know this.
Patrice Bergeron played a game with a punctured lung in the finals, then
went back and forth
to the hospital. Like, these guys are like, yeah, COVID, whatever.
No. It should not be left up to them. But, I mean, fuck, it's definitely taken over the league. And
yeah.
I'm looking at the schedule now, and what is it? Minnesota's the only game tonight?
Yeah, there's just not hockey on. All the Canadian teams are shut down until after Christmas.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So all that's out of there. Every Canadian team game, and therefore every game that an American team would have played against a Canadian team, all canceled. And you know, there's only 7 Canadian teams. When you think about it that way, it does kind of, because that's like more, you know, people have to play them too, and it's not like the Canadian teams are playing each other right now, except for that.
Well, that's yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah,
like so, they're still like right now. The only game today is Minnesota and Dallas, obviously.
Dallas, like, will never get shut down.
And, like, even in the States, like, they're still like, I know the teams are still getting COVID, like the players are still being put into protocol, but these games aren't getting canceled.
No, it does seem like they're playing more of them than
right
than the Canadian teams, which is a little bit weird. I'm not, again, no idea what the NHL's COVID protocols are, because they do seem to be kind of just doing it as they go along.
I think that whatever the, and again, we're not smart people here, but I think whatever the government is saying in terms of whatever country they're in says a lot on what the NHL has to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like the fact that Scotiabank is not letting fans in anymore. And even like the Canadians played a game with no fans.
Well, that it's one down night. And Dave, and that's even just down from last week, because weirdly I went to a hockey game on Friday.
You texted me that.
I went to an OHL game on Friday.
Where was that? Who played?
That was Mississauga against North Bay at the Hershey Center. And I was front row right behind the Mississauga net. And I got to be there, watch a hockey game, drink beer, all that.
Who did you take besides me?
Took a dear friend of both of ours. And
it doesn't help me at all. And, I don't know who this dear friend is.
Yeah, we went to watch a game. It was fun. But like, it's just weird that I got to do that, because there's no hockey, and now people aren't going to, now the arenas are down capacity, and if they're letting people in at all,
right? It was 50%, but that it was funny, because they were like, they announced 50%,
yeah,
and then they were like, well, now we're canceling all the games, and I was like, oh, okay, well, why don't you just start with that? Like,
the 50% thing was weird too, because I guess because it was an OHL game, and like they kind of assumed that they wouldn't get
50%. Enough
people, yes, they never even brought it up. And I went in there and I was like, oh, because there's very clearly much less than 50% here.
That's wild.
Probably just track.
Was it a good game?
It was, 2-1, nice and close. It's just good to see, good hockey.
Damn, it's funny, because again, last week we were supposed to go to the, or 2 weeks ago, we were supposed to go to the Marlies.
The Marlies, yeah.
And we were very upset.
Yeah, and that's what I made. Suck.
That's when I said COVID's never affected my life. And then you texted me and you were like, I got a ticket to the OHL game. And that the day before I found out that I probably
got COVID. I
was like, Ramston, God damn it.
It's okay. We'll get to a hockey game at some point.
One day.
I sincerely hope.
I'm starting to doubt it more and more.
It does feel like the world is specifically trying to stop us from going to see.
They really don't want us to do this, but I'm going to
do what we can.
We'll keep trying.
We can talk about the only Leaf game that's happened since we recorded our last podcast, which was them absolutely kicking the shit out of Edmonton, which is always fun.
Yeah, I mean, well, Connor McDavid is a complete mutant, so I'm surprised they were able to do it.
Connor McDavid... scoreless, pointless. Leon Draisaitl, scoreless, pointless.
Surprising, because that empty net shot that he almost like a wide open cage.
That actually was absolutely unbelievable that he missed that. That right there, that exact moment was when I knew Auston Matthews would win the Rocket Richard Trophy.
Yeah, because he wouldn't have missed that.
No chance. And I mean, he got two in this game. And the first one is, you know, it was kind of the goal that Auston Matthews has been scoring a lot more of this season, where he just got his big ass right in front of the net and potted one from close range. He also scored the last goal of the game, which was a goal that Auston Matthews wasn't scoring a lot of this season, but is his classic goal, where he just absolutely makes a goalie look like an idiot with a ridiculous wrist shot from like 30 feet out. And, yeah. I mean, if he's doing that now, again. Like, now that he's brought the, now that his wrist's feeling good and he's got that back into it, plus all the extra goals he's scoring on rebounds and tips and net front stuff now. I mean, Jesus. I mean, he's got 20 already on the year. And he started.
I know that was slow. His 20th. Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. He scored 19 and 20 in the Edmonton game.
Yeah. So he's currently 2 goals behind Ovechkin, 3 goals behind Draisaitl. That was what, like 12 at the beginning of the month?
I know. Wait, how many goals behind Ovechkin?
2.
Okay.
3 behind Draisaitl.
Well, here's the other thing, though, is because, like, if we're going by the scoring race, I mean, they're still playing games. Like,
well, yeah, but he will play those games.
No, no, exactly what I was going to say is he'll still play those games, so maybe there will be a bigger gap, but I'm sure he'll make up that gap.
Yeah, I think he's probably, honestly, if, like, if I was going to put some money on it right now, I would bet on Auston Matthews to win that. I mean, no disrespect to Alexander Ovechkin, who seems to have taken breaking Wayne Gretzky's goal record as, like, a personal insult or something.
It might be doable, man.
That people were like, hey, you can't do this. He's like, oh, yeah? I'll be 36 and pound pasta and fucking Dr. Pepper and beers and still score 50 goals every year.
Oh, you
year.
Know he drinks beers, like,
post, before the game.
Like, pre-game and post-game. Just no problem.
I'm pretty confident. Like, I don't know this to be true. I'm not reporting anything. I'm pretty confident he smokes. Like darts. He got just him. Looks like he smokes darts.
I'm so jealous.
He just has that look about him. The gold chain and like the hair and the kind of beard and the kind of like gut.
He looks like he smokes bellies.
Yeah, he really does, man. Let's see. I mean, there's not a ton of hockey stuff to talk about. We should talk about how disappointed we are, I guess, that they're not going to the Olympics. Not that that's been made official, but.
Well, I saw today that they're not going to the Spangler Cup, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, not that that matters, but that should tell you everything you need to know in terms of what's going to happen with the Olympics.
Weirdly, we are getting the World Juniors, which is I'm actually really happy about, because if there's an NHL shutdown and there's no Olympics and whatever, like, at least.
Listen, I need something. Look, Boxing Day is when I get out of quarantine.
Oh, there you go.
So, I mean, I might stay home and watch that, but after that, I'm out.
Yeah, that's it. That's a wrap.
Free. I'm peeing all over the city.
Running around the cold. Yeah, I think
But I am looking for the World Juniors, like, I mean, there's no signs of that being
about that.
Yeah, there's no signs of that being shut down, so I'm excited to watch that.
Ramsey's I was considering.
Also sick,
yeah,
but
I am
he
also
doesn't
sick.
Have COVID.
I don't. Yeah, tested negative. I'm just regular sick.
So that's lucky him. He doesn't have to be.
Yeah, I can go spread my illness to others. Yeah. I am really disappointed that we're probably not getting the Olympics, or if we are, it's going to be like lame, like last time.
Well, I saw. So again, I don't leave my house except to take the dog out, but there is a news. Remember how I usually got my news from the pizza down
pizza
the street?
Pizza. That's right.
Now I get my news in the elevator. And it was an article. Yeah, I'm upgrading. It was an article about how what the Olympics will look like when there's no NHL.
Yeah.
And it was like Devin Dubnyk will be the starting goaltender. And I'm like, oh my god.
Oh boy. Yeah. No,
he's not in the show, right? He's not in the show.
Devin Dubnyk? I thought he was. Did someone not sign him and we were all like, why? I think it was San Jose.
Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I thought they said he was going to be the starting goaltender.
Maybe that was last year he was on San
Jose.
I don't remember.
My point is he's not in the NHL and he's going to be the goalie.
Yeah, I didn't watch it really the last time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I watched a lot more of the women's actually than I watched of the men's, and I probably will do that again this time if the NHL players aren't going.
Yeah.
Because like at least that's the best. You know what I mean? And that's the point of the Olympics, is that it's who's the best.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
I'm
sure
guys are the best.
Like it's gonna be all KHL guys and
yeah. Like yeah, and Russia's gonna slap is the other thing.
Right. Like that's what I had last time. It's like it's yeah. Just Russia kicking ass.
Yeah, Datsyuk's gonna put up like 50 points on the weekend, and that's gonna be it. Yeah. I don't think they're going. I think with the case numbers where they are, and even if we get past that, they just won't be willing to send
I want
quarantine.
Them to go, but in with everything going on and like you hear about like how long they're going to have to sit if they do get it, like just it's not worth it, man.
It's not like reasonable for us to
you're going to send McDavid. No, you're going to send McDavid over there and then he might get it and then what? We're not going to see him play games for a month.
Yeah.
That's not going to be fun for us when we were actually watching the NHL and you know, there's a playoff race and no, it's not.
Yeah, it's not a good idea really at all. Honestly, like the Olympics is probably not a good idea.
That's a point. That's a good point.
Just putting that out there. Maybe just don't do it. But just
maybe call that.
Yeah, but you know, we'll see, I guess. I mean, maybe do it in the summer, which is weird doing the Winter Olympics in the summer, but is it really gonna be that much weirder than when we do the World Cup in the winter?
Well, it's Qatar, so it's fine.
Yeah, yeah. Nothing wrong with that at all. Yeah, I mean, that is something to look forward to, though. The World Juniors is kind of giving me a little bit of positivity.
No, that's a good point. That's a good point. The World Juniors will be fun to watch.
I saw the Canada roster. It's very, very good. Very impressive.
Yeah.
Probably could have been a little better. I am kind of confused about some of the decisions they made. They picked no right-handed defenseman, and they also didn't include Brant Clark, who went in the first round to LA Kings, who is a stud, and who is a right-handed defenseman. Why did he not make the team? He's one of your best players, and it's not like you replaced him. So I don't even know what to make of that one. But other than that, it looks like a good roster. He went 8th overall. You don't need that guy.
They don't need him, Ramston. Why would they need him?
You don't need a top level player on the team. Crazy. But what will be kind of cool is getting to watch Shane Wright, who will go number one in the draft this year. Yeah. We get to watch Shane Wright play this year. And we get to watch Connor Bedard, who made the team
right at 16. Age 16, yes.
Yeah, our new superstar. And on the Russian team, we get to watch the guy who's competing with him for that first overall draft spot, Matvei Michkov, who, I mean, this is basically like if Crosby and Ovechkin were in the same draft.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So wait, when is Connor Bedard's draft year? Not, it's obviously
2023.
2023, shit. Okay.
Yeah. So it's going to be either Michkov or Connor Bedard who goes first overall in that draft. And honestly, it doesn't matter who like whatever team comes last in that year, whichever one you get, like you're fine. You're going to be great. They're two absolute like record.
Well, whoever gets first and second, you're fine.
Absolute record breaking talents. Yeah. Like they're trading records back and forth every time they play, like most points in a U18 by a 16-year-old or a 15-year-old or whatever.
Game to game,
swapping it back and forth. Connor Bedard wins the tournament. Michkov wins the scoring title, even though he's 15, and he scores a Michigan goal. Like, it's like, I don't know, guys.
That's so funny. Okay, all right.
I'm pretty happy with either one. So that's what I'm really excited about. The World Junior, obviously, you know, just watching them play and all of that. And Connor Bedard's not going to be a big part of it because no matter how good you are at 16, 16-year-olds don't really star in that tournament. Just impossible to really compete with 19, 18 year olds. But if anyone can, it's probably these two.
I was going to say, I guess it's in Edmonton.
Yes. Okay. Which means we're probably, we'll see what happens,
which means it's probably not going to get shut down, Ramson. I'll be honest.
That's, I mean, it gives it a much better chance, doesn't it?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So let's hope.
Yellen's going to be front row.
Yep. Yeah, well, it might keep ticket prices down. So there's that, I guess.
If Yellen's there, yes.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what else we even have here that's gone on. Robin Leonard made his return to Long Island. That was a big deal. He like pointed at his tattoo.
At his tattoo on his neck.
And the crowd went nuts. That seemed interesting, especially given Long Island is not a place who has tended to treat returning players particularly well over the last few years.
Yeah, just ask JT.
It's a little bit surprising. The only problem is I was trying to find, like, and I do have some other stuff we can talk about, but I was trying to find news for us to talk about this week, and it was really struggling, not because there's nothing happening, but just because you have to sift through so much COVID reporting to find anything remotely hockey related.
That's true.
Because when I go through my news feed to find like something cool to talk about, I'm freaking flipping through like Vinny Hinestroza has joined the COVID-19 thing. And no offense, Vinny, but like it's not really what I'm looking for here, pal.
No, it's definitely a swamp of just COVID news that you gotta get through. But I mean, like, there's still games being played, and I mean, they're going to make an impact on how the league looks and post COVID.
Yeah. Now there's some other coaching stuff that I find kind of interesting. The first one, I mean, there's one huge one, but just before we get to that, I want to talk about Vancouver and our boy, Brucey Boudreau, winning his first six games in charge.
It's okay. Yeah. So it's six in a row. They haven't lost one, right?
They have not lost. For that reason, I'm semi happy that the Leaf game got canceled, because like Vancouver would have treated that like the goddamn Stanley Cup final, probably come out and won that game.
Yeah.
Elias Pettersson looks like himself.
Yeah.
Their other top forwards look like themselves. Their terrible defense look like somebody else. And it's all kind of coming together for them.
I mean, so it's crazy how, and we will probably talk about it with Winnipeg because Paul Maurice resigned. It's crazy how like a coaching change can do so much.
Honestly.
Because it's not the GM change. I'll tell you that right now. I know they did both, but it's not that one.
Although that probably is going to help in the long term.
Eventually, but not now.
I got to tell you, yeah, this is a bad look for Travis Green.
Oh,
and a good look for Bruce Boudreau, who I love and I'm very happy for.
Yes, yes.
But, I mean, Vancouver is currently, if you just let me have a look here, six points behind the Edmonton Oilers for the last playoff spot in the Pacific.
Yeah.
Now, can they catch them? Probably not. But they certainly could. Edmonton has also lost six games in a row. Just the other thing to consider here.
And with those, you know that Vancouver's not going to win the rest of their games, you know, and not lose one. And Edmonton's not going to lose the rest of their games and not win one. Like,
yeah.
But I mean, it is very interesting that a coaching change leads to 6-0.
I mean, if they can play pretty good hockey the rest of the way, though, I mean, you have to think, because right now they're seventh in that division. They're only ahead of the Seattle Kraken, who, I mean, goddamn, did they ever screw up their draft? Because they got no picks, no prospects, and their team's bad. So, like, just really, really shit the bed on
that.
They're
tanking. They're trying to get Shane Wright.
I mean, yeah, but you could have done that, you know, with some other picks, too.
I agree. But, I mean, they're just...
Yeah.
It's not good.
It's not good. But you have to think, when you look at this team, this division, Vegas is probably going to win it or at least finish near the top of it. Calgary is probably going to win it or finish near the top of it. I assume Edmonton is going to not lose all the rest of their games because they have, you know, 97 on the roster. But, I mean, is Anaheim really going to play like a 17-9 team for the rest of this season?
No.
Yeah.
they're fun to watch because of Zegras and
yeah.
But I mean, other than that, they're not that good.
Zegras reminds me of Mitch Marner when he first came into the NHL before he kind of like buttoned it up and started playing like a normal person. Remember his like first few years where every shift when Mitch Marner got on the ice, you're like, well, I don't know what's going to happen, but it's going to be weird.
Cool.
Yeah. We might get scored on or we might score, but I know he's going to attempt to pass the puck through three people's skates and try to do like two toe drags at the blue line for no reason. And it's going to be pretty cool. Yeah,
that's such a good point.
Zegras is like fully in that mood and like probably even more in it than even Mitch Marner ever was, where he's basically because like, I feel like he's I don't want to say like gambling, but it seems like he takes like low percentage moves and he's really good. And like right now they're just all hitting. Like he's just on like a hot run and his confidence is like out of control.
He seems so chill. Like he seems like such a, like it just seems like he's in a zone where it's like just going to go well, even if he doesn't do exactly what he wants to do.
Yeah, and I mean, like, at once per game, he'll do something just, like, insane for no reason. And, like, I just, to everybody, including and especially John Tortorella, but for all the people who are like, don't do all this crazy nonsense. No.
Oh, right.
You guys are wrong. It's great. And, like, let alone the crazy goal he scored, which no one should have a problem with, because he assisted a goal.
Yeah, like, am I crazy? He led to someone scoring a goal that most people would go, yeah, you batted something out of the air. Like Crosby does that all the time. And no one, like, I don't get it. It's
but like
so
he
weird.
Assisted a goal. Like, I don't know why people are going crazy about like, oh, it's so flashy. And like, he's dead. It's like, dude, okay, it ended up in the net. Like, what do you want from the kid? But sometimes he does stuff that like doesn't work or that doesn't really have like a purpose. Like I saw one play where he came in on a 2-on-1 and he put his stick between his legs and pretended he was going to pass the puck between his legs and then pulled his stick out and passed it normally. And people were like, well, you know, he didn't even do anything. He just passed it normally. Like whatever, like what, that was pointless. It's cool. He did it because it's cool. Just be fun. Be fun for like 5 minutes. Can you not look at that and go, that was pretty awesome.
It's like that How I Met Your Mother. Could you just be cool? Just once be cool.
Honestly, like how is your first thought when you see that? Like, oh, well, you know, he ended up just passing the puck normally. Like, how is your first thought not, holy shit, he just like faked a pass between his legs? I don't know. People, the Trevor Zegras thing has been, it's been a lot of fun.
It's been fun to watch it. I don't get why people would shit on it.
Yeah, but like they're probably going to drop off. So I guess the question is, can Vancouver get their head out of their ass enough to catch Anaheim, who have a 10-point lead on them currently? Yeah, it's big, but we are not even halfway through the season.
It's not too big that it's impossible, but it's pretty big.
It is, but you know, I mean, we're not
given that they've done the 6-0.
Yeah,
but
we're not halfway through the season and Anaheim built a 10-point lead over 30 games or whatever. I mean, that would logically say that Vancouver could erase that 10-point lead
over the
course of 30 games. I'm assuming they play each other a few times in there too, which will be absolute must wins. I'm not saying Vancouver's going to make the playoffs either. I don't think they're especially good.
No. I mean, they're definitely in a bit of a hole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Not a Seattle Kraken level hole, but
yeah, but that's even we knew that going in. Once we
Montreal
saw the draft,
Canadiens level hole.
Well, I mean, they got rid of everyone.
Yeah, we should talk about Paul Maurice too.
Gave up.
Yeah, right.
And I know that's not really what happened. He resigned, and it was all very respectful. And
he gave up.
He gave up, right? Yeah. Like he was like, "I'm done. I don't want to play. I don't want to do this anymore."
Now, like, I don't want to put words in his mouth because he definitely didn't say this. But like, did you get the impression that he was just like, "I'm just done with these. Like, I'm sick of these guys."
Yeah.
I really got the impression that he just like maybe just doesn't like his team.
Yeah, like if you're sick of doing like the job of being the coach, it's one thing, but to just be like that could be saved by liking the players you have.
Yeah.
But if you don't like the job and then you don't like the players, that's when you give up.
Yeah. I mean, he was – I got to look it up because I can't even remember when he came on board in Winnipeg. But he's been the Winnipeg Jets
Hasn't he coach. Been there since the whole time?
Yeah. Right?
Since the Jets became the Jets?
Yeah. Like, he has been
coaching I'm pretty sure. Years. I don't remember any coach that wasn't Paul Maurice.
2014. He has been their coach for – oh, Claude Noel. That's right. I remember Claude Noel. But, yeah, he was their coach for 7 years.
There you
the
go.
GM has been there the whole time. That's who you're thinking. You're thinking of Cheveldayoff. But, I mean, he's been there for 7 years. I can't imagine the Jets have been there for much – have been back in Winnipeg for much longer than that.
Yeah, when did the Jets come back? 2012? Yeah,
he's got to be, like, most of the time that they were there, right?
Mm-hmm.
They came back in 2011.
Wow, we were in high school.
Yeah. So he could, yeah, I mean, all 7 out of 10 years that team's existed, he's been the coach.
And he just decides, eh.
Yeah, I'm done. Like he
now
quit.
What's their standing like? I don't know where they're at.
Like in the.
Yeah, what are their, what's their record?
They are 14-11-5. They have 33 points. They're currently in fifth in their division, behind Minnesota, Nashville, which is weird, St. Louis, and Colorado, which is not weird. And they have Dallas closing on them pretty quickly.
Weird time to give up.
It is, yeah, because they're totally right in the middle of the playoff hunt. Like, they're not sitting particularly great, but they are currently... 3 points out of the playoffs behind Edmonton.
Yeah.
And one of the teams in their division who currently has a playoff spot is the Nashville Predators. And I mean, if we're being realistic, I can't assume that that's going to, you know, I can't say Anaheim's going to fall off and then talk about Nashville and be like, oh, well, they're definitely going to make the playoffs. Like, I would assume those guys are going to have some struggles.
Yeah.
They're not a great team. I mean, the Matt Duchene essence has been something, but other than that, so it is a very weird time for your
coach. Yeah, I'm just looking to see, like, I mean, because it did kind of come out of nowhere.
It did, yeah. It's not like we heard.
That's what I mean. Rumors. It's like I'm looking a little bit in the news here, for, like Jets news, like nothing.
Yeah, I mean it. So it seemed like they kind of fixed their defense, which was really bad last year in the offseason. And it hasn't really worked because they've still been kind of not very good. And then they won their own personal Stanley Cup when they beat the Leafs. And Logan Stanley only got beat up by Wayne Simmons a little bit. Which,
only a little
you know,
bit.
Career defining accomplishment for Logan Stanley.
Dumbass.
And it seems like Paul Maurice was just like, just sick of him.
Yeah. No, he did. He seemed, I mean, to just give up on your team like that is not a good sign.
And like, it's, I'm not sure what part of the team he doesn't like, because it seems like he really likes Blake Wheeler. Like he talks about Blake Wheeler like he's like the greatest person to ever live. He talks about Blake Wheeler the way that Kyle Dubas talks about John Tavares.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like, it's definitely not him. But I don't know. There's something there that doesn't seem right, because coaches don't really do this, especially guys who have, you know, have been there for 7 years and have the kind of job security that Paul Maurice does. These guys don't just like give that up.
No.
I guarantee you, if they missed the playoffs, Paul Maurice wasn't going to get fired.
Well, and if there was out, like if you were Travis Green and you quit.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Because you're like, oh, I can read the writing on the wall. I might as well call it a day myself. But if you're him, it doesn't sound like you were any closer to getting fired than ever before. So why?
I mean,
you saw it, like, I'm sure you saw the speech that he gave about just being tired. And I mean,
yeah,
Does that seem like a cop out to you? It does a little bit to me.
It kind of does. Yeah. Right. Like, I mean, understand that, but there's got to be more to it than that. Right. Because like maybe that's true, but I don't think he's feeling very tired if the Jets are winning and he's having fun when he goes to work every day because he likes all the guys. And,
if the team isn't giving you crap.
Yeah.
Then I like, even if you're not doing great,
yeah,
you would still enjoy going to work. So the fact that he says he doesn't like it anymore, I mean, I'm sure that someone's just.
Yeah. And especially because we know with his, like, you know, the fact he's been there for 7 years and the GM is the same guy and the owner is the same guy. We know that he's not getting any shit coming from like above him. We pay attention to the media. We know he's not getting any pressure from them. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, you know how all the stories were about what is Vancouver going to do for months and months and months before Travis Green got fired? There's been none of that for the Winnipeg Jets and Paul Maurice. So it's not coming from there. So, I mean, that kind of only leaves one option.
Yep.
Which is the players. Because it's not coming from the fans, the media, the owner, the GM. It's got to be the room. And it's weird because, I mean, they've had problems in that room for like, the whole time that Winnipeg's been there.
I was going to say, I mean, this is probably the most recent example. Maybe not the most recent, but like Line A was a big problem, they said.
Yeah. The Kane and Bufflin stuff.
Yeah. Good point.
Like, it's been going on forever.
So, I don't know, man. The only consistent part, the only consistent piece that I can think of that's been there is Wheeler.
I know. That's why I made sure I mentioned that it seems like he really likes Wheeler, because you would immediately think, okay, he probably doesn't like Wheeler and Shifley. But it seems like he does like Wheeler. So maybe like
nobody else does.
Maybe he just doesn't like Shifley. Or maybe it's the new guys. Maybe it's the guys they've just brought in. Maybe he doesn't like Pierre-Luc Dubois. I don't know.
Yeah.
It could be something like that, right? But something's gotta be like, something has to be happening, because guys don't just quit.
No. That's the other thing. This is pretty rare, right? Like, I've never really heard of anybody just being like, hey, I give up.
A coach resigning? Yeah. I mean, like, you know, you don't get people resigning usually in sports unless they've done something terrible that they know is about to come out or someone in their family's sick.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, like an emergency. So... yeah, for him to just be like, I'm just sick of it, in the middle of the year.
To just call it like that, yeah, no, it's... I don't know, man. It's a weird, weird story, but...
yeah.
I mean, we'll see if the Jets do any better without him.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say Paul Maurice is the problem, just given, like, how long he's been there and how they've always kind of been the same team the whole time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But... we'll see, I guess.
They're still, like, they are a good team.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, they were Patrick Laine becoming what he was supposed to be, away from being one of the best teams in the NHL. Because when Patrick Laine was scoring 40 goals a year, they made the conference finals and lost to Vegas.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then Patrick Laine turned out he wasn't, like, you know, Finnish Alex Ovechkin. He was kind of a bum. And first round exit to St. Louis, qualifying round exit to Calgary, second round, they got swept by Montreal last year. Like, they're just not, they don't seem like the same team. I think that pick kind of make or break for them.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, yeah, you kind of missed the end of Blake Wheeler's prime. They had that great decor, and now it completely fell apart. You lost Bufflin to injuries. You lost Trouba to just not wanting to play in Winnipeg. And all of a sudden the whole thing was falling apart.
Yeah.
And you were relying on Connor Hellebuyck to make like 40 saves a night to have a respectable
defense. Which he was doing.
Yeah.
He was capable of doing, but.
Yeah. We currently call that the New York Rangers move. Which is kind of funny that Jacob Trouba is on that team now.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah, I remember when we used to do this. Good times.
I can do this. No problem.
Good times. I'm just going to headhunt some people and D Did you see, it just reminded me, did you see the 4-game suspension over the weekend? The Brett Connolly hit.
Oh, so that was 4 games. I didn't know he got suspended because I saw the hit on the Dallas guy. Oh my God,
was that bad.
Kiru.
That hit was just so bad.
And I saw the Pavelski post game where he's like crying.
Yeah.
That was a bad hit, eh? It was a bad hit.
Oh my God.
He just hit, but like he hit him. But yeah. I also think the hit to the head against the boards was the bad part, right?
Like, I'll say So the first time I watched it, I was like, oh, that's a bad hit, but it's not like, you know, terrible. But you know what changed my mind? You have to watch it and look where the puck is. Okay. Because like you kind of miss it when you watch it and you like assume that the puck must be near him or go through his skates because like that's, it always is usually.
Yeah,
you have to see where the puck is because the puck is actually on the glass on the like riser. It gets stuck on the riser on the dump out. So it stays on the boards and brings all the way around on the boards. And Caro, I can't.
Caro, yeah. K-E-R-O.
He's like,
K-E-R-O.
I'm going to say 8 to 10 feet away from the boards when he gets hit. Like he's nowhere near the puck and the puck is like belly button height for him. And like, it's just like, there was no way he was ever going to get anywhere near the puck. And Brett Connolly was like, cool, I'm going to try and end your career anyway for no reason. that's what makes it such a bad hit is like, it was just completely unnecessary.
Yeah.
Like we've seen some bad hits recently, the Jason Spezza one in particular, but at least like those kind of had.
Even the Trouba hit that like knocked out.
The Trouba hit. The Trouba hit. He had the puck. Kara had the puck.
It was in his feet. Like
McKinnon had the puck. Yeah. The Spezza one. I mean, Pionk actually kind of tried to play the puck before Spezza tried to murder him. And Spezza had the motivation of revenge. Even the Pionk knee on Sandin. Sandin did try to skate out right in front of the slot. And he just, when he missed his check, he hung a leg. This is honestly probably worse than all of that because this one, I don't understand why he did it. He was just like, just going to take a run from halfway across the rink at this kid. And the puck's like 10 feet away.
Yeah.
That was a bad one. Seeing him get the same number of games that Jason Spezza's suspension got reduced to, that's a little bit interesting. Should we talk about that, I guess? And then anything else you can think of?
Yeah, no, I mean, I wasn't like, I knew he was gonna, what's it called? Fight it.
Yeah.
I knew he was gonna just take the suspension and move on. I knew he was gonna see if he could get it reduced. I was shocked that, cause he got it reduced that like the day before the game.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, what if happens if this was a day later? Then he just sat for an extra game?
That's what I kind of expected was happening. They were saying it's unlikely that he would get his case reviewed until after the 6 games were over, but I guess they moved it up a bit.
Right. Like I was like, this seems weird. Which now in hindsight,
he gets the money for it if they do it after though. Right. Like he gets his checks back, but he Jason Spezza, he doesn't care.
No. I mean like if the money's not the problem, that's why he signed league min. Yeah. But I mean, like, I don't know about you, but once the COVID thing started hitting, I was like, he's back or not.
He got COVID right before the game he would have returned.
Right. Like it doesn't,
which then got canceled. But I mean, like, you know, it was funny that he wouldn't have played anyway.
Yeah. Right. Like he would have still lost out on the playing. I mean, do I think he deserves to have 2 less games? Probably not.
Yeah, I think so too.
It was a dirty hit, but
yeah,
I mean it.
I think he deserved the 6 games, but I think the NHL also, like, I think Brett Connolly should have got 6 games, and I think Brendan Lemieux should have got like 10 for biting a dude.
Yeah,
like I think Jason Spezza's suspension was actually exactly what it probably should have been. The problem is just the other ones aren't. So then you have to go with what you're doing, right?
Yeah, well, and it is kind of weird how if you go and fight it, it's like, oh, we could get it reduced. But, like, I'm surprised the NHL doesn't try to stick to their guns.
So I actually heard someone talk about that, and I thought it was kind of an interesting and possibly true explanation for it. If Gary Bettman upholds the suspension, he can take it to an independent arbitrator, right? Like a third party to decide it. And that's what like Tom Wilson did. Remember when he got his suspension reduced, when he got like that 20 games or whatever, and they took it down to like 12, he could have done that. And what happens there is both sides come in and they present their case, and then the independent arbitrator decides it. And I think what the NHL didn't want was Jason Spezza's argument to be officially on the record considered by an arbitrator. And Jason Spezza's argument would have been the referees completely lost control of the game and the players ended up taking it into their own hands. And that led to this complete shit show. And if he presents that argument to the arbitrator and the arbitrator agrees with him, which there's a pretty good chance he probably would.
We talked about that game last episode. It was a shit show.
Yeah. Then we end up with an official legal reporting that the referees let the game get out of hand and the players ended up taking it under. And that does not look good for the NHL at all. So I think Gary was probably like, all right, let's just not go there. Let's just not go there. Let's knock a couple games off for the old man. Fuck it.
Now, Ramsey, I was thinking about this today, and this is kind of off topic, but it has to do with refereeing.
Yeah.
So, okay. So if somebody gets slashed in the face or a high stick in the face.
Yes.
And there's blood. It's a 2-minute penalty or a 4-minute penalty.
4-minute penalty.
Is there such thing as a 6-minute penalty?
No.
Like, let me give you a scenario. So I hook a guy.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
We're in the neutral zone. It's not like he's on a break. He's trying to get out of the ice on into the ozone, whatever. I hook him. That's 1 penalty. That's 2 minutes.
Yeah.
As I hook him, I lift my stick up. I hit him in the face.
Yeah.
That's a high sticking. Then he bleeds. Right.
Okay. So I'll explain to you. There's two things that change it. There's no 6-minute penalty. There's actually no 4-minute penalty. There's only 2s and 5s, yes. Right? So you can't get a 6-minute penalty. You can get 3 2s.
So you, okay, that's, sorry.
Yeah.
I should have phrased it better.
And the other thing with it is you kind of, this isn't like an official rule, but it's how most people ref the game. You kind of have to do two separate incidents for you to call 2 separate penalties. So like if you hook a guy and then your stick goes up and clips him in the face and he starts bleeding, I'm probably just going to give you 4 minutes for high sticking, not 2. And then, right. Cause it's, you did one thing.
Sure.
Right. If you hook him and then like a, you know, and then you guys skate like all the way down the ice. And then before you get the puck back, you high stick him. Then yeah, you'd probably get both. Right? It has to be like
you're right. It's not like one all in one motion. It has to be more of a separate. Okay.
Yeah. Otherwise you're just going to, cause like.
Well, first I started thinking about this the other day. Cause I don't know. I was just like, cause if you get 2 minutes or if you get a double minor cause of blood, it can really only happen from the face.
Yes. Yeah. You can't really cut anything else.
Right. Like, that's what I was thinking. I was like, you can't really go, oh, like his stick rode up my shirt and now I'm bleeding from my stomach. Like, that doesn't.
Just people don't really cut from, you only cut from parts of your body that are like really
exposed.
Bone. Yeah. Well, exposed, but also like pieces of your body that are really close to the bone. Right. So, like, you wouldn't cut from your stomach because there's no bones there. So, there's nothing for the skin to rub against. So like it hurts.
Doctor,
to get hit in the
when
stomach.
Did you get so smart?
No, but like it's just this from all the times you've cut yourself. Think of all the cuts you've had: your shins, your knuckles, probably your like forehead, stuff like that.
Yep.
Chin, right? Like places that are directly bone, but you don't get cuts on like your back or your stomach or like your thighs, like stuff like that just doesn't cut easily because there's no bone to rub against. And the only exposed part of your body when you're playing hockey is your face and your neck. But it's hard to cut your neck because there's no bone.
Right.
But it's really easy to cut your face. I mean, the face is one of the easiest parts of your body.
Did you go to medical school? When did this happen?
It's just I don't know. It's common sense.
Did you watch the Jake Paul fight?
Yeah, I did watch the Jake Paul fight. Do you want to talk about the Jake
Paul fight? Is it real? I can't tell if it's real. I can't.
The Jake Paul fight was real.
Wow, so that guy got really knocked out, eh?
Oh, yes, he
did. I can't tell. I can't tell anymore with these things.
I will tell you that fight was definitely not fixed. If it was fixed, there would be a couple things different. For starters, if it was fixed, they wouldn't have made it suck for like 15 minutes before the knockout. That was one of the worst fights I've ever seen until the knockout. If it was fixed, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't be like, let's just have it be terrible so people don't even want to watch it. And then we'll do the knockout. And the other thing is, like, if you were to fix it, you wouldn't, Tyron Woodley wouldn't be like, cool, I want to get knocked out face down and then stay there for like an amount of time that's like semi-concerning.
Oh, he was out for a while. I didn't see it. I saw the highlights.
He'd get punched and then like take a knee and let himself get counted out, right? He wouldn't get unconscious face planted. So it's absolutely real. It's just, I mean, Jake Paul's not good at boxing. He's not. I know people are going to try and make it out that he is.
He seems to think he is. He seems to think he's very good.
He's not. But Tyron Woodley, I mean, that was really bad. And like, he just bites on feints so aggressively. And Jake Paul fainted like a punch on him. And he literally jumped backwards out of range. And then like slowly walked back into it. And then when Jake Paul faked a little punch again, he like completely just dropped his hand to cover the body jab and got crushed over the top. Which, and I mean, look, the kid, I just say he's not good at boxing. He hits really hard. He clearly has very legitimate power. Yeah, he's also much bigger than everybody he fights. He hasn't fought anybody who's even remotely his own size. I mean, Woodley fought in the UFC at 170 pounds. And I mean, like, he's a thick guy, but he's like 5'9", 5'10", and he fought at 170. Yeah. And Jake Paul is 6'1", I think, and 200 pounds. Like,
yeah, no, they're
different sized people, right? And he clearly is a pretty athletic, powerful guy.
Sure, sure. But
if you let that guy punch you clean the head, I mean, probably not going to go great for you.
Okay, all right. Look, I see it all online, and people are saying it's fake and all this, and I can't tell. I'm not good at this.
I get why people are saying it's fake, because it's, you know, it's a YouTube dumbass knocking out a professional fighter.
But I mean, I guess there's a big difference between boxing and
there is
UFC, right?
Especially for someone like Tyron Woodley. And he's not fighting UFC fighters who were particularly good strikers either. Mm. Tyron Woodley is a wrestler who threw a really hard punch but wasn't good at striking. And Ben Askren, who we've knocked out before, is possibly the worst striker in the history of the UFC, who was literally exclusively a wrestler and couldn't do anything else whatsoever.
Well, yeah.
So,
and he was had
a hip replacement and showed up fat. Yeah.
He showed up. I remember that. I remember seeing a pudgy boy.
Yeah. And he had just had his hip replaced.
So, what is he, 80? Come on.
Yeah, yeah, seriously. Jesus. So, like, you know, I mean, it's not fake, but it's also not, it's not like a big deal. I know people are going to try to make it like a big deal.
No, but like, you know, it was all over the, like, once Sportsnet posted on their Instagram, I gotta look into it. I gotta ask you about it.
Gotta investigate.
I know nothing. And so you watched it, eh? You.
Oh yeah, I watched it.
That's funny.
Yeah. I was, you know, having a Saturday night with some buddies and just threw it on. Why the hell not? You know, whatever. And
so was there what I was going to say. Did the UFC also have fights that night?
Yeah, they had Derek Lewis, my guy, Derek Lewis, the balls was hot guy.
Oh,
you know, the big funny guy.
So I guess they're competing for views, eh?
No, I think the UFC ended like way earlier and it was like a free event.
Oh.
They don't want to go up against Jake Paul.
Well, that's what I was wondering. I was like, I wonder if they would.
Yeah, there was also no like real boxing event either. Like, people don't want to go up against Jake Paul because, like,
weird.
You know, no matter what you say about the kid, he's famous. And famous people doing stuff tends to be more popular than really good people doing stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the best professional dancer in the world is probably a better dancer than Chris Brown, but no one will pay to watch that guy dance, but people will pay tons of money to watch Chris Brown dance because he's Chris Brown.
Yeah.
And people won't, you know, people will pay a lot of money to watch like Canelo or like Tyson Fury or some of the other best boxers in the world. But guys who are close to the best boxers in the world, people don't really know who they are, like Lomachenko or Terence Crawford. And I can name a bunch of other guys who are absolutely incredible, but who you'd be like, I don't know who the fuck that is. But you know who Jake Paul is. So he's going to sell more. Because people are going to be like, oh, I know who that is. That guy's fighting someone? What the fuck? Let me put it on.
Right, right.
Yeah.
The name brand is, their name recognition.
Yeah.
Is there. Okay. Yeah. That's
so really the real guys don't want to, or the guys promoting the real guys, I guess. The guys who make those kind of decisions. They don't want to put their guy who only hardcore boxing fans know about up against Jake Paul's fight. Because, you know, you're going to lose some of the limited amount of viewers you were going to get in the first place. Exactly, right?
Yeah, the casuals.
Yeah. You'll get zero casuals instead of a limited number of casuals.
Damn.
So, yeah.
All right, well, say what you will about the guy. He's making waves.
I mean, you know, I don't honestly know, like I don't know a whole lot about the kid other than having watched him box a few times.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I don't really know what his deal is or whatever. Seems like a bit of a jackass, but you know, who isn't? I'm not here to judge, but look, the people who get into these sports a lot of the times are not the best people. And as someone who likes these sports, I always say I can't fault somebody for going and getting paid to get punched in the face, no matter what they have to do to do it, because there's easier ways to make a living. So
that's a good point. I'm sure he was doing pretty well before this.
Kids so making like YouTube videos and shit. There was no reason for him to actually get in there and get punched. And like, you know, say what you will, he fought Tyron Woodley, who is a legitimate UFC champion, for like 9 rounds before he knocked him out. Or probably more than that, right? Because the first fight went the full 8. So he fought like 13 rounds with a UFC champion. And then knocked him out. So like,
no joke. You know, it's no joke.
You gotta respect it, no matter how much you want. No matter how much you also have to like put it in context as what it is.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I would love to see who he fights next.
I would too. I saw online recently that the betting favorites are Tommy Fury, who I think he was supposed to fight, who I've actually never seen box and is like more of a reality star than a boxer, who's just actually related to Tyson Fury. Like he is, he's like his half brother or something, but like that doesn't make you good at boxing. So like, I don't know if he's actually any good.
Right.
And then former UFC middleweight champion, Anderson Silva, who first of all, Anderson Silva is at least Jake Paul's size, if not bigger. And
but isn't he like 1,000?
And an actual legitimately good striker, but also he's 46. So that's a weird one. But I don't think he would do that because I don't think Jake Paul, like he's probably looking for someone a little bit more famous, right? Because that's the way that this works. I think I've said this before, but if I was Jake Paul's manager, he wouldn't have fought a UFC fighter for like 2 years. I would have been like, no. Here's what we do. We beat up YouTuber. We beat up another YouTuber. Then, you know when he knocked out Nate Robinson, the basketball player? Have you like...
Ramston, how would you like to fight? How about podcast?
Basketball player. Basketball
podcast
player.
Podcast host.
Yeah. Then I'd be like, let's fight Soldier Boy.
Rapper.
See if we can get Chris Brown on there. 50 Cent, maybe. And then we get into dudes who can actually fight.
Yeah.
Podcast host. Yeah, I'll fight Jake Paul. Let's do it.
All right.
I'm going to get knocked out, but I'll take that money.
Take the money.
I'll take that payday.
We'll reinvest it into the community.
I'll take that payday for the people.
For the people. Who are you, Bane?
for the people.
You'll be talking. You'll be talking like that if he knocks you out. Breathing through a mask.
That's going to be my post. My post face plant. Yeah, well, you're already talking through a mask, you COVID-riddled son of a bitch.
Listen, I'm double masked all the time now. I don't leave the house. I can't leave the house.
All right. Well, I don't think we have much else we could talk about while recording here. So I think I think you can probably sing us out for this week. And hopefully when we come back, we'll have real hockey to talk about.
And I'll be covered.
And you'll hopefully not have COVID. That was what I was going to say.
I mean, yeah, boxing.
Unless you decide to follow up your Omicron variant with some Delta variant, maybe sprinkle in some COVID classic and just really, really get after it.
Get a cocktail going, eh?
But if there's no NHL games, maybe we'll do a World Junior podcast next time we do this.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because that'll be well. There will be true. Like,
it'll be at least like the first game. Yeah. Yeah,
there'll be like one game in. So at least we'll have some sort of actual hockey to talk about.
All right, cool.
All right, buddy. You want to sing us out?
All right, let's do it. It's up to the Miners podcast. COVID's real.